Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albizu, in for Brian Ibbett, keeping his seat warm while we're getting to know the contestants of Season 1 a little better. Today, we're talking to Dr. Jerry Tolbert. Let's go! Jerry was up there in the top four finalists for the show, and he was a force to be reckoned with in this show. He was constantly on his game and very competitive. And he had one of the most memorable weeks, if you remember, from the storytelling week. He had a really strong story that he brought to the table, and it was impossible to beat. So we talked about that emotional win during that storytelling week, and we also talk about the new show that he's starting with Dan Patrice and another contestant from America's Next Top Podcaster. And we also talk about the meaning behind that poem that he shared at the end of the competition when he was eliminated. Here's my conversation with Dr. Jerry Tolbert. Mr. Dr. Jerry Tolbert.
you can just call me Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. Oh, shoot. Okay, thank God. How are you, sir? How have you been?
I'm doing well. I've been doing very well. How about yourself?
Doing great. Doing really, really, really well. So, want to figure out what's going on in your life since the show has ended. What have you been up to, sir?
Well, for the last few weeks, I have basically been getting back to living. It's summer here, so I've been hanging outside with my girls and playing around, doing a lot of chilling, really. The free time is what got taken up by the podcast, so getting back to having hobbies.
Yeah. How's that, getting back to the real world?
It's kind of weird. I still have this agita that I'm missing something on Monday nights when I'm not recording.
It is weird, isn't it? Like, it took up so much of our time every single week that now that we're sitting here kind of on the other end of it, I kind of feel like I'm twiddling my thumbs a little bit, but we have other projects to keep us busy. Like this.
Absolutely.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited that you're doing this. I can't wait to hear from all of the other contestants. You know, during the contest, I didn't get a chance to talk to every single person a whole lot. And so to hear their kind of feelings about what's going on and their stories, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and let's jump into yours a little bit. You know, okay. You were really well known for the storytelling week. Yeah. I went back and listened to it. It was real gut-wrenching, very authentic, genuine story that was told. I encourage our listeners to go back and listen to it if you haven't. Very well done, sir. Now, I want to dive a little bit more into that topic. It was a touchy one where you had, well, do you want to recap it for the sake of this conversation?
Yeah. So as you mentioned at the top of the show, I am a doctor. I'm a family medicine physician here in Kentucky. And during that podcast, talked about something that every physician has to deal with. There are times when we are going to make mistakes. There are times when we're going to do things that we don't necessarily expect to be a problem, but end up being a problem. And I told the story of the first time that I made a medication error that probably led to somebody having an abnormal heart rhythm and actually dying because of it. It wasn't that I purposefully tried to hurt him, but it was that by missing out on a specific piece of information, another medication that he was on, I unfortunately caused a medication error.
And you had mentioned, I guess, after recording that show, and I believe it was during the judging, that you hadn't told that story to anybody really outside of maybe your wife or those very, very close to you. Why did you feel it was necessary to share that story at this point?
One of the things that I was really gunning for with the contest, every time we did anything, was authenticity. I found very frequently that was the thing that kept getting brought up, especially during Scott's judging. Scott Johnson would talk about having that voice that sounds authentic and having that ability to connect. And that's something that I've always found just in general, whether it's podcasting or radio or television or even in the office. The connection is made when you are an authentic person. People actually dig authenticity. And when we were initially coming up with an idea for the show, we told these stories that were authentic, but they just didn't have a connection. They didn't have a way to resonate with the average person. And while the average person isn't a doctor, and most people aren't going to kill somebody by making a bad choice during their work hours, everybody can resonate with that idea of making a mistake. doing something that they don't intend to do that still leads to consequences for other people. So that story was the story that just kind of came to mind when I was thinking about things that I could, that I, only I could bring to the table.
And you are considering starting another podcast with Dan, who people may know from The Morning Stream. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Absolutely. So Dan is a pharmacist. And as I said earlier, I'm a physician. So we had talked about in the past doing something that takes that idea of reality, that idea of engaging with people where they are, and kind of demystifies healthcare, something that's going to take all of the layers of distance between the average person and the healthcare system, and tries to kind of tear up some of the space in between. And so he and I, and actually, I don't know if we've ever announced this officially anywhere yet, but Bridget is also going to be helping us with that podcast. She's our third chair.
Oh, awesome. She's great. Oh, Bridges is great. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was something we asked her to do it, and she was contemplating it. And we had a meeting this past week, and she is actually very excited to come on board and be the link between us and the audience. She's the person that's coming in without a whole lot of medical knowledge that is going to be able to ask good, solid questions that pretty much everybody else is going to be asking or yelling at their computer when they're listening. So,
yeah, that's really great. And are you hoping to get guests on there who can share their stories similar to how you did?
This isn't as much storytelling as it is education, I guess, if we were going to put it in the context of the podcast that we did. So it's going to be more like, you know, for the first half, we're going to talk about a topic, and then the second half is going to be more question and answer. So yeah, we are going to open it up for people to ask questions, to submit questions, to ask them live in the chat room even. So because we are going to try to stream this on Twitch, but it's it's not something that we are looking at. We're not ruling out the possibility of having guests on, because one of the, you know, we have this whole big list of topics that we just kind of brainstormed, and there are like 30 something topics on the list, but one of them includes things like veterinarians. There's stuff in there about, you know, psychology stuff that we may even try to drag in other people that appeared on Next Top Podcaster, like Wendy Dunford, who is Scott Johnson's sister, who is a licensed therapist. We may pull in other folks that we know from the community that the term that we use in medicine is allied health. They're not physicians. They're not nurses or nurse practitioners or physician assistants or whatever. They are healthcare professionals, but they're not what most people would think of as a provider. And although that word sometimes makes people cringe, but you know, physical therapy or people that do social work or other things that might be healthcare adjacent that people want to learn about. And again, it's more about teaching about a certain topic, but then kind of opening the floor for questions.
Very cool, man. I can't wait to hear that. Do you guys have any more information on the name, or how will people be able to know it comes out?
So that is actually one of the things that we are most, we're scrambling for right now, because we have this idea, we have the willpower to start, but without a name, it kind of holds up everything. You can't do art. You can't do the social side of things. The play on words that we came up with at one point was something about paradox. And that has kind of stuck, but we also don't want to exclude Bridget in the naming part of things. And we want it to be something that makes it easy to find. So if anybody has any suggestions out there, by the time this goes to air, we may or may not actually have a name for it yet. So hopefully we will, but
yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear about it. Now I want to shift a little bit. Talk about your exit coming out of this show. You ended the show on, with like a really nice poem. I liked it. You talked about how you were approaching a mountain. Mm-hmm. What do you envision that mountain being?
That was actually a paraphrase of "Oh, the Places You'll Go," the Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, cool.
So I have always been fond of having some kind of cultural touchstone when I'm doing things like this. I want to have something that maybe resonates with people. Again, something that you remember from childhood, or something that you remember from a happier time, or a different memory, so we can kind of tie things together, right?
Yeah.
And so I took that and I thought about where I was going and what was happening, and it was a change. You know, I did this contest. I applied thinking, you know what, I may get into this, I may not, but it's worth applying. And if I do get in, I do want to try to my hardest to get to the top. And I made it to the top four, and that was awesome. And working with everybody that I worked with was awesome. And I had a great time doing it. And, you know, just like anything else, I didn't want to walk away from it without changing. I didn't want to walk away from it and just say, well, I had this 8 weeks that I was doing this thing, or 12 weeks that I was doing this thing, and now I'm back to normal and it's not, you know, it's like nothing ever happened. I didn't want that to be the case. So that was more for me than it was for everybody else. Just that reminder of, okay, when I look back at this, what am I going to remember? And I'm going to remember that this was a transformative experience. I went from doing this as something kind of as a hobby, helping other people do it, being an editor for certain folks in the past, to really planning to do something myself, to try to make this something that I do purposefully, but still, you know, having fun with it. I don't want it to be a job. I want it to be something that I do because I want to do it. And so it was just, that's where that came from.
Very cool, man. I love that context. I didn't even, like, I have a two-year-old, almost two-year-old by the time we're recording this. And I didn't even recognize that. Like, that's great.
I have 2 4-year-olds and a 6-year-old. And so I am in the Seuss mode most of the day.
Dude, we're just doing a lot of, what is it, Green Eggs and Ham? Terrible book. Just from reading it, because it's like the same thing over and over again. Like, it's
that great, is true.
Don't get me wrong. But it's that, like, I'm just like, oh, I got to say the same thing over and over again. And I've gotten to the point where I can almost memorize it. Don't hold me to it right here.
So have you guys started with any of the Boynton books?
No.
So there are these board books. Sandra Boynton is the author, and she does these kind of, she does all the illustrations and the words, and they all have rhymes and they're all kind of sing-songy. In fact, some of them have actually been made into songs. Like, she has songs that accompany them, but they are, you know, 10 or 15 pages long. They are catchy as all get out. And our girls, I can still probably recite from memory 5 or 6 of them, because every night at bedtime, there's one called the Going to Bed Book. And so every night at bedtime, we would read the Going to Bed Book. Or there's one called Pajama Time. And so at one point it was Pajama Time. And so, oh yes, it's Pajama Time. So having a mind for lyrics anyway, you know, I tend to remember things like that fairly well. It gets stuck in your head forever. Oh my gosh.
Let it go. Sorry, yeah. Everybody listening at home.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it resonates.
Everybody just got it stuck in their head.
Exactly. But there's a reason those things resonate. And it's kind of like the contest. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about earlier. The idea, the reason I try to tie those things together so much is because when you step back and take that 30,000 foot view of pop culture and what people remember and leaving that mark on other people, it's the things that have that connection point, that resonance that you remember. You don't remember the stuff that is generic or is not tied to you specifically. You know, when I was in medical school, we always said that if you could tie a disease process or what you were learning on a page out of a book to a patient, you would never forget it. And I can vouch for that 110%. There is not a single day that goes by that I don't have things that I remember because I remember the first patient that I saw with that disorder or that problem.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's that resonance. It's that human touch. And so right. I think there's something to be said for that all the way across the board.
Yeah. And this competition has really left a mark on everybody that's been
absolutely
a participant in this. What has been the most surprising thing coming out of this competition for you?
I think honestly, there have been multiple times in the last 6 weeks that people that I considered internet famous, I guess would be the way to put it, people that I've listened to for years on different podcasts have said things to me that have changed the way that I look at things. You know, Justin Robert Young, when he would judge some of the things that he said, not only did they resonate so deeply that I kind of came up with, you know, ways to change how I fundamentally look at podcasting in general. I mean, that sounds kind of groundbreaking, but it's not. It's just this idea that this is not something that you just kind of get out there and do. It's not just something you throw something against the wall and you see what sticks. You got to be deliberate. And that was a big thing. And that's kind of surprised me that it was, you know, something out of the judging like that, that I didn't think it was going to be throwaway by any stretch, but I didn't think it was going to be that profound in terms of changing the way I do things. And then to hear Scott say things like, you know, that he really enjoyed, hearing, having me as part of the contest, that he thought my voice was one of the better ones in the contest. That was cool because it means that I'm not outside of my own head. It's hard to say how much people want to listen to me. But when somebody that I listen to on a regular basis says that, it makes me feel justified in trying to actually pull something off here.
That's right. Yeah, you should feel good about it, man. You do a good job. And I mean that. So
thanks. You do too.
Thank you.
There's a reason why I was hoping to be on your team at the end of the finals. No spoilers, I guess. But I really did want to be on your team because I like the way that you interact with people. I do like the interview style that you have. I like hearing your voice. So it was good.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and we'll have to continue to stay in touch and collaborate where possible. That's been something that's been so fun about this project is just meeting so many like-minded people who feel the same way about podcasting that you
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. So,
our guest today has been Jerry Tolbert. Again, Jerry, thank you very much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you again to Dr. Jerry Tolbert for being our guest today. Just an amazing human being, awesome dude, and he has an amazing story. Go over to americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Go back to that storytelling week. If you haven't heard it, go listen to that story that he told. And I was really moved by it. So go check it out. And I also had him on the Dad Chronicle. If you head over to thedadchronicle.com, this was, it's been a couple months, but he was on there and his perspective as both a father and a doctor was really enlightening. And it was, I know that all my listeners loved the conversation that I had with him there. So I do encourage you to go check that out. It was really helpful. And if you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. This has been Alex Albisu, filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcast contestant segment. We'll see you guys next time.